Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. There's one topic that is not covered in Section 89 of the Doctrine and Covenants, known as the Mormon Health Code, the Word of Wisdom, and that is imbibing soft drinks. Many Mormons would argue that they would not partake of soft drinks that had caffeine in it, as if somehow there was a connection between the soft drink that had caffeine and, let's say, Section 89, verse 9, that says hot drinks are not for the body or belly, and they would somehow connect the coffee and tea prohibition with the soft drink that had caffeine.
I think that's the only way that they came out with that idea. I mean, as far as caffeine is what's bad for you, and therefore liken that to all of the sodas that are out there.
Well, let's talk about soft drinks, because soft drinks is not mentioned specifically in the Word of Wisdom. But it does say on page 26 of John Witzo's book, The Word of Wisdom, A Modern Interpretation, and John Witzo was a Mormon apostle, so he does speak with a relative amount of authority, at least among Latter-day Saints. On page 226 of his book, under the subheading Soda Pops, he says this: "The occasional use of some artificially flavored drink made from carbonated water and syrups may not be harmful, but generally, one should not make a habit of taking such drinks. Too much carbonated water may become decidedly irritating to the delicate linings of the alimentary tract, and, with other unnatural food and drink, may in time cause distress." The question, of course, is Mr. Witzo speaking more from folklore and wives' tales, or is he really turning to scientific evidence that would tend to support his premise here?
I went on the internet and I looked at some different resources, some medical research that's been done on this, and actually one website I'm looking at right now, livestrong.com, has an article talking about carbonated water, and it talks about its health benefits. And it says carbonated water, also known as sparkling water, seltzer water, or soda water, is simply plain water that's been infused with carbon dioxide. The process of creating carbonated water doesn't add sugar, sodium, calories, or caffeine. Hydration is vital to good health, and luckily, carbonated water hydrates just as well as still water, according to registered dietitian Jennifer McDaniel on Business Insider. Health effects of a good hydration include better concentration, decreased risk of constipation, proper health and kidney function, body temperature regulation, and softer, more elastic skin. The article goes on and also talks about some of the myths that some might think about carbonated water, such as these kind of drinks can leach calcium from your bones or damage your teeth. However, it says the claims are unfounded. So really, the only effect that might be negative is perhaps flatulence or burping. That's what the article talks about and has nothing to do with any kind of a negative health effect.
But yet it does bring out the fact that drinking a lot of water is healthy, and that seems to be one thing that's overlooked in the Word of Wisdom. How come Joseph Smith didn't include drinking plenty of water every day, which does, of course, have health benefits? Okay, so we set aside the carbonation in the soft drinks. Now let's go back to this idea about caffeine. Is it not true that Brigham Young University, even to this day, does not sell soft drinks that are caffeinated?
And the point being is that in September of 2012, for those who might have been confused about this issue, it's not in the standard works, it's not on any of the websites. Mormonism has never taught that you can't have sodas. Sodas have never been prohibited according to Mormonism, and yet a lot of people, as we mentioned, were using the caffeine in the sodas to not drink those kinds of drinks. Well, in September of 2012, the church on its website came out with an article, and according to the Salt Lake Tribune that reported on that, it said a statement on the website said that the church does not prohibit the use of caffeine and that the faith's health code reference to hot drinks does not go beyond tea, and coffee. And that article in the Salt Lake Tribune that was titled, Okay, Mormons, Drink Up, Coke and Pepsi Are Okay, that's from the Tribune of September 5th, 2012. This is what it said. This week's clarification on caffeine is long overdue, said Matthew Jorgensen, a Mormon and longtime Mountain Dew drinker. Jorgensen, who is doing a two-year research fellowship in Germany, grew up in a devout Mormon household in a small, devout Mormon town where his neighbors and church leaders viewed drinking Coca-Cola as so close to drinking coffee that it made your worthiness questionable.
But yet we do find in the early 20th century there were several talks that were given to Latter-day Saints, some in general conference, where they were warning about drinking cola drinks and stuff like that. So what do you do with this? I mean, are these men really led of God, or are they just shooting from the hip? I think it becomes very questionable. But what about Brigham Young University? Let's get back to that, because if it's not a caffeine issue, then why is it that you cannot find caffeinated drinks at BYU?
There was actually an article on this in the Utah Valley 360.com website, and this is what it said. The title was, New BYU President Doesn't Mean New Policy About Caffeine. And it said this, BYU students who were hoping that a change in president would bring a quick change to the no caffeine policy on campus are going to be disappointed. Keith J. Worthen, who takes over as BYU's president on May 1st when Cecil O. Samuelson will be released. But Worthen has already told students in a recent interview with The Universe, that's the BYU newspaper, that the issue of caffeinated beverages being sold on campus is low on his list of things to worry about. BYU's long tradition of being a caffeine-free campus was met with its most resistance by students last October, that would have been October 2013, when Coca-Cola products containing caffeine ended up in several vending machines. Students quickly bought up the caffeinated beverages and the speculation started. Some were convinced it was done on purpose in light of the upcoming football game against Georgia Tech, whose campus is near Coca-Cola headquarters in Atlanta. Others were convinced the caffeine ban was being lifted. BYU spokeswoman Carrie Jenkins put the rumors to bed again with the actual explanation, quote, No one caught the mistake when the vending machines were being stocked, end quote, she said. A majority of students have expressed their desire to be able to buy caffeinated beverages on campus and question why it is not sold at BYU. Others do not care if they can or can't buy caffeinated beverages at BYU. Some students say they don't want it at all on their campus. LDS church leaders do not strictly forbid the consumption of caffeine, and they even clarified the church's stance on caffeine in September 2012 on the church's website. If Mormons are allowed to drink caffeine, and students have expressed the desire to buy caffeinated beverages on campus, then why is it not sold on campus? And here's what the BYU spokeswoman said. This is the decision that has been made. So she's not going to talk about it. And then the article concludes, stating that she wouldn't be able to speculate on the possibility of BYU's new president allowing caffeine to be sold on campus, or if this policy will ever change, it's fairly safe to say that BYU isn't changing its tune anytime soon.
It's like a sign I have in my office that says, there's no reason for it, it's just our policy. Now, before we close out this session, I think we need to talk about what is the perceived hypocrisy among some of the leaders in the Mormon Church, particularly Brigham Young and Joseph Smith. There are some things that are in the Word of Wisdom that are very clear. It certainly does prohibit the drinking of strong drinks. We would take that to be strong liquors like probably bourbon and things like that. We know that wine is only supposed to be used for the sacrament, but what do you do in the case of a guy like Brigham Young, where it was known that he had a distillery? Should that not be a problem with most Latter-day Saints, especially when you consider this statement by Joseph Smith? This is found in Teachings of the Prophet Joseph Smith, page 117. No official member in this church is worthy to hold an office after having the word of wisdom properly taught him, and he, the official member, neglecting to comply with and obey it. Now, if Brigham Young has a distillery, maybe he's not drinking the stuff, but he certainly is giving it to somebody, is he not? Mm-hmm. So wouldn't that be, in a certain respect, be a little bit hypocritical, that it's okay to make stuff that is not to be used? And then you have Joseph Smith, who has a tavern in his house. Now, if he was just selling beer in his tavern, I can see the controversy there, because as we've pointed out, there was a misunderstanding as what did it really mean when it talked about barley for all useful animals and for mild drinks. As we've discussed, the use of beer was disagreed among by some leaders in the Mormon Church. Brigham Young Jr. himself would be one of those that was in favor of drinking beer. And then, of course, you had Heber J. Grant, who would later become a president of the Mormon Church, who was very strongly against it. Well, the fact that there is some controversy on whether or not that is prohibited would not make me want to say that Brigham Young Jr. was acting hypocritically. I think he was acting on how he understood the verse read and how he understood that verse. But what do you do with Joseph Smith and Brigham Young? I guess that's my point. It seems like they were clearly acting hypocritically in their actions.
Yeah, in fact, I'm looking at a quote from History of the Church, Volume 2, pages 369 and 378, and this is referring to what Joseph Smith stated. He said, "We then partook of some refreshments, and our hearts were made glad by the fruit of the vine. Elders Orson Hyde, Luke S. Johnson, and Warren Parrish then presented to the presidency with three servers of glasses filled with wine to bless. It was then passed around in order, the cake in the same order, and suffice it to say, our hearts were made glad while partaking of the bounty of earth which was presented until we had our fill." That seems to be a direct contradiction to what he just said.
And if their hearts are made glad, it sounds like they're getting at least a little buzz out of that, which would certainly be a prohibition. But then you're talking about just the alcohol problem. And then there's that story that Brigham Young told, how Emma Smith, Joseph Smith's wife, when she got mad at Joseph Smith, put some poison in his coffee. Now, I know some historians say that that whole story might be controversial. It was Brigham Young that told the story, but it makes you wonder if Joseph Smith, being an officer in the church, is supposed to be following the word of wisdom, and the hot drinks prohibition referred to coffee. Why is Emma poisoning his coffee and Joseph Smith obviously drinking it? These are just some things that cause me to wonder what's going on here. But certainly when you look at the word of wisdom, there's a lot of questionable aspects that are a part of it. And certainly I would not draw the conclusion that Joseph Smith was a prophet because he brought forth the word of wisdom.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Have you ever wondered how Mormonism and Biblical Christianity differ in their doctrine? MRM's Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson's 2015 revised and expanded edition of Mormonism 101 will help you see those differences. Published by Baker Books, Mormonism 101 cites LDS church leaders and official manuals and covers numerous topics, including the Bible, the Book of Mormon, grace and works, pre-existence, and the Second Estate, and the Trinity. If you've always wanted a concise yet complete guide that'll help you better understand the Mormon religion, then this book is for you. In fact, Sandra Tanner calls it a well-documented yet readable overview of the LDS religion. And during the month of June, for your donation of $35.01, we'd like to send you a personally autographed copy of Mormonism 101. Go to our website, mrm.org, and look for the article with a picture of the book on the main page. Then, make an electronic donation of $35.01. That extra penny will let us know that you want the book. Your donation will help MRM during their critical summer months and is greatly appreciated.